Welcome to Beyond the Wish, where we delve into the power of wishes and the incredible wish makers who make it all possible. I'm your host, Sloan, and with me today is Kayla, who will be sharing with us the onboarding and discovery part of the wish journey. This is a special four-part episode covering the entire wish journey. So if you've not watched or listened to part one yet, we recommend listening to it in order so that you get the real feel of the wish journey. If you want to learn more about how you can make wishes come true, visit our website, wish.org/Illinois. Welcome, Kayla. Can you start with an intro of who you are and who's on your team and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, first of all.
Of course.
Excited to be here. My name is Kayla Hanley. I'm currently in the role of Wish Experience Manager at Make-A-Wish Illinois. In this role, I manage and lead two teams. The first that I support and I lead is our onboarding and discovery team. This is a team of four incredible individuals who help guide families through the front half of the wish journey, welcoming and wish discovery, by different regions of the state. And this is for all of our English-speaking families. The second team that I manage and support is our wish specialist team, our multilingual wish specialist team. This team helps families throughout the whole process, from beginning to end, from welcoming to wish granted. These two incredible individuals are with those families to guide them through the whole process. And so in addition to that, I help on some projects. I manage my own portfolio of inactive wishes and then just support the team in the way that they need.
You have quite the team. And can you break down kind of, you had mentioned that you're the coordinators are doing welcome and onboarding.
Yeah.
Regionally, can you kind of share who is working in which regions?
Yeah, absolutely. So two teams, right? We've got onboarding and discovery for English-speaking families. Wish specialist for any family that doesn't speak English. So when we start with onboarding and discovery, four individuals. The Chicagoland area, as I outline this too, people may be like, whoa, why are two people covering one area and one person has a huge part of the state? And it's all based on population. So we know that Chicago is the most populous part of our state. So we have two individuals who've split up that, the north side and the south side, to work with the families in those areas. And before I preface, like, who does what, why we did it by region is because it was based on working with volunteers that lived in those regions to develop the relationships with those individuals to make sure that if a volunteer on the north side of Chicago continuously signs up for a wish, they always work with the same person for relationship building, continuity, et cetera. So that's the only reason we have it by state or by section of the state. But Danielle Rubin manages the north side of Chicago. Carly Fishbein manages our south and southwest sides of Chicago. Claire Malone is on like the northern part of the state. And then Alexis Nolan, who lives in down in southern Illinois, manages middle of Illinois and below. So if you're a volunteer, you're a family in any of those sections of the state, that's who is going to guide you for the front half if you're English speaking. Karina and Andrea are our multilingual wish specialists. They're amazing. Karina manages our Chicagoland area and Andrea covers the rest of the state. And so hopefully that answers the question.
Yeah. So it's if you are a volunteer or a wish family, you kind of now know.
Yeah.
Who may be reaching out to you or who you're working with or why certain people work in different
areas. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a big state and with a lot of people.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So for, just for context, like our onboarding and discovery coordinators are managing like 175 wishes each. And then our multilingual wish specialists are managing around like 90 wishes each. And so to the point of like populace. Mm-hmm. They got full plates.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what is the onboarding and discovery process? I guess maybe splitting it up between onboarding and discovery. Like, what can a wish family expect?
Yeah. It's a good question. Because when you think of a wish, you think of the wish granted part, right? And mm-hmm. That's what we're working towards. That's the most significant part. But I love wish discovery because it's the most pivotal part of a wish experience. It's an important part of the wish experience. That's when a child is getting the opportunity to choose what they want. And if we're doing wish discovery right, each child is articulating their most heartfelt, unique wish. And so it's important. These are important stages. And we talk about the wish as like a part of the healing process and like a light in the darkness. While a child is going through like the hardest time, we get to come in and say like, no, hope is available to you and to this family, like joy is available to you. And so with the welcoming, it's us saying to the family like, hey, welcome. Like, this is something that you're going to get to experience. The beginning part is done through a welcome call. And that's primarily through our staff member and a child's guardian. Because what we want to do is learn as much as we can about the wish child, their personality, their medical needs, any sort of limitations, cognitive abilities, so that we can personalize the wish experience to that child's unique needs. After that, that's when the fun begins, when we get to do the wish discovery and take that light that I was talking about of light in the darkness and give the child the opportunity to like put a spotlight on what they want. And so after the welcome call, we assign a wish discovery volunteer to the wish journey. And this is an individual who's going to get to know the wish child, their likes, their interests, talk about multiple wish ideas, because kids dream big and we want to make sure that we capture all ideas. And then the child gets to choose their wish. They fill it out on a form detailing out what the perfect wish would look like. And it gets sent back to our team. And we assess based on policies, all of the things that I'm sure we'll go into about what's feasible. And then we'll communicate it back to the family and volunteers.
And you touched on it exactly of during this discovery process,
yeah.
How does staff and potentially volunteers guide a wish child through the discovery process?
Like, yeah.
What is possible for sure. Wishes and maybe what's not possible?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We obviously have limitations mm-hmm. of what we can do,
mm-hmm.
Both as an organization and just what is physically, humanly possible.
Right, right. A lot of people think we're like elves. Of yeah. Like, this is Santa's workshop. Anything can happen, which is, it's fun to think anything can happen, but we are also people with limitations. But to answer the first part of your question, like, what can a child expect is first just a volunteer asking questions, like get to know you questions. So that we can start the empowerment of a child to be like, hey, this is me. Like, I love mac and cheese and I love Spider-Man and it would be amazing to see a volcano. Like, just practicing the child being able to say what they're confident about. And then we'll start to ask activity-based questions of like, when you're outside, what do you like doing? When you're inside, what do you like doing? And of course, the volunteers, we want them to articulate these questions to the child based on their age. So a wish discovery with a 5-year-old is going to look very different than a wish discovery with a 15-year-old. We know that the 15-year-old isn't going to be maybe as excited to talk about like their favorite color with a volunteer. So just keeping that in mind, we want to make sure we're meeting the wish child where they're at rather than asking the wish child to meet us in our processes. And then we start to dive into like, do you have any wish ideas? Do you have any questions about what's possible? We have a wish journey portal online that is used as a tool for wish discovery, where we can show all the different types of wish types, every wish we can put into a wish type category, and then examples of what's happened. So if a child doesn't know what they want, we can begin to ask why, show examples, and just use that as a foundation of brainstorming, rather than it coming off as like a menu of options. But to your point of like what's possible versus what's not, it's a shorter list for what's not possible, thank goodness. And what we're always trying to do is just grant safe and equitable wishes. And so what's not possible or wishes that would not be safe or equitable. So for example, we can't give firearms. Wouldn't be safe. we can't do wishes for like absolutes of like, I wish to give the most Valentines ever. We can't promise that, right? We can give all the Valentines to your school. We can give them to your hospital workers, but we can't achieve this absolute vision of ever. And so I could go down examples of that, but when we assess if a wish could or couldn't happen, we want to make sure that it's a safe wish for that wish child, and we want to make sure that it's equitable. And so to your point, though, each wish type has policies or limitations. We can grant boat wishes. Kid can wish for a boat, but we can't grant a boat wish for a boat that goes over 30 miles per hour because it wouldn't be safe. And it wouldn't, without those confines, it wouldn't always be equitable. And so There's so many examples of what we can or can't do, but that's the boundary that I would always keep in mind. Is it safe and is it equitable?
Yeah. And I think there's, you always get kind of a little bit different, but if you had a genie who would grant you wishes, like you can't wish for more wishes.
Right, like that's right.
Like part of those like limitations of what you can and cannot have. But there's also wishes that I think kids come up with that seem like we may not be able to do that, but through some really powerful creativity, we're able to make it possible. So something that may start as that kind of far-fetched idea that, oh, we might not be able to do that, we can kind of spin it and be a little bit creative with it to have that essence come into form and actually be what the child is looking for.
Yeah, the word essence is used often, and it's because we want to get to why a child is asking for what they're wanting. And so to your point, we've had wish children wish for $1 million. Makes sense. That would be awesome. But we can't give $1 million. And so the next question, instead of saying, no, you can't have that, what's another idea? A volunteer or a staff member would ask, hey, why? Why do you want the $1 million? And then we'll go down a list to figure out to get to the essence of the wish. We've done this recently. A child wished for $1 million. We asked why. He said, I want to be the man. And we said, okay, what would the man look like? And he was like, well, he would have a lot of cars. We're like, okay, what kind of cars do you like? And, you know, we narrowed it down to be a Lamborghini-themed wish, which is something that we can do. His vision and his essence was reached, but it wasn't this genie type where we started off with $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or I think of some kind of wishes that have been very publicized by like national of wishing to be a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Where we can't physically turn you into a dinosaur, but you can dress up like a dinosaur and we'll make it a whole big thing and you can do what dinosaurs do.
Like we just yesterday I got a wish determination for a child to be a wolf.
Amazing.
Yeah. But then also, hey, what does that look like to you? You know, that's the next question of like, if she's like, oh, I want to be in, like, you don't want to be around wolves. Like, okay, we can make that happen, you know, or I want to wear a wolf costume. Great. It's just asking more questions. Yeah.
Because we have made a lot of incredible things happen.
Oh, but the wish for, I wish to ride a transformer through the McDonald's drive-thru. Like, transformers aren't real, but the team figured it out and the kid got to go through the McDonald's drive-thru in Bumblebee and order some french fries. It was awesome. Yeah.
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 So while we do have these policies and what seems like limitations, through the power of a wish and the incredible community of people and connections we have, the options, I feel like, are pretty limitless once we narrow it down to that essence.
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned earlier, we can put any wish into a certain wish type, but we never want it to come off as a menu to kids of like, hey, here are the things you can choose. We do want children to articulate like what would be the best thing for them. And then we will work with them to make it fit within our policies. But we're never going to say here are the minimal things that you can have. Yeah.
And we'll touch on it more in the next episode when we talk about the creation phase. Yeah. But even Disney World being our most popular wish, every Disney wish is going to look different because every kid is going to share why they want to go to Disney. And maybe they want to meet a certain princess or they want to ride a certain ride. They're going to kind of all look different.
Right.
Even if it's in that same wish type.
Yeah. And even down to the details, like we ask what their favorite color is so that Give Kids the World can use that color in their villa. Like each wish is unique because each child is unique.
It's really incredible.
It's cool.
Who are you working with through the onboarding and discovery phase? And then also, who are families expecting to work with through the same phase, onboarding and discovery?
The family will work with a staff member and a volunteer. We want to keep those relationships minimal so that they just know who to go to. They feel hosted well. They feel cared for. They feel seen. They feel heard. And we can control that when it's just one to two individuals. The staff is working with anyone we need to figure out if we can make the wish happen. And so at the first part in the welcoming process, we're working with Andrea, who was here talking about referrals, making sure that the qualifying med team, the doctors who work with that child who say, yeah, this kid is meeting the criteria. If they share any sort of medical information we should know, we're talking with Andrea about it to make sure like, hey, this child has XYZ medical needs. Therefore, we know that air travel may not be safe. And so we're going to start the wish journey already knowing that. So we'll work with Andrea. We'll work directly with the family, obviously. We'll work with those wish discovery volunteers. We're going to work with our volunteer team to assign those wish discovery volunteers. We will work with a child's current medical team to know if the wish ideas that they are determining are safe. So with every travel wish, every wish involving animals, every wish involving water, any wish involving like a motorized vehicle, we have to go to a child's doctors and ask, would this be safe? Because Make-A-Wish doesn't want to grant an unsafe wish. So we're working with med teams. We are working with the CREATE teams if we need to do some wish commitment research. Sometimes kids wish for things that are uncommon, which are so fun. But we have to know if it's possible. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, if a child wishes for a play set in their backyard, awesome. We need to know if the backyard can host a play set. And so before we move it to the CREATE phase, we're going to tap our local team and say, hey, can you send a contractor out to that backyard, see if the ground is level, see if there's enough space before we say to this child, yes, this can happen. And so if we have a question, we're going to ask the person who we know has the answer, and that could be anybody, before we commit to a wish. And so the list is long of who we're working with.
So can you go kind of step by step as a family who they've gone through Andrea, they've submitted their referral, they have an eligible condition, they're moving forward in the wish journey. Step by step, kind of what does that look like for them? What can they expect from the next phase of the wish journey?
Yeah. So the first thing that a family would get is to get a message, an email from myself saying, hey, welcome to Make-A-Wish. In that email will be indications of what's next. Just welcoming them in. Here, can you complete this intake form? So what I said earlier, can you tell us about your child, their personality, their needs, et cetera, and sign up for a welcome call with your region's staff member. So that's number one, sign up for a welcome call. Tell us about your kid. Number two, you're gonna have that welcome call with the staff member to just talk. Hey, what's your experience been with Make-A-Wish? What do you know about us? What questions do you have? Here's what you should expect. Just making sure everyone's on the same page to start off the process. After the welcome call is complete, then we're going to alert the volunteer team of this new wish. Kathy Chan, who's our amazing volunteer coordinator, will assign a wish discovery volunteer to the wish. The family will be introduced to that wish discovery volunteer through email. The volunteer then is going to set up a meeting to talk with the wish child and begin the wish discovery conversations. After the volunteer then is done with that call, the volunteer will come to our staff and say, here are the wish ideas for Johnny, for example. And then the staff will assess if this is possible or not. Do we need medical approval? What paperwork do we need, et cetera? And then if it's possible, once we have all that we need, we're going to pass the wish off to the CREATE team.
So tomorrow's episode will cover the whole creation process and how the wish goes from your team to the creation team and then to the wish granted part. Right. That is what most people think about when they think of a wish.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then, but the one call out is with our specialist. The family will, if they're non-English speaking, it's going to stay with the same staff member. So we'll bring in the CREATE team for that second half, but the family will still continue to work with Andrea or Karina throughout the whole process. So they may not feel that transition moment as much as our English speaking families.
What does your team do if a child cannot decide?
Oh, so real. So like, right? So real, because we just have so many options everywhere all the time. If a child can't decide a wish, it's understandable first. We're not going to shame, like, we don't want to shame the child. We're like, that makes sense. We're going to ask questions first of, hey, do you feel confused about something? Do you have questions? What ideas are coming to your mind that you don't even know if you want to commit to yet? And so we'll go that route first to be like, hey, you don't have to know right now, but let's keep thinking. If a child, is for whatever reason at a point where they cannot decide because they are overwhelmed with school right now, or they're asking for a specific pause on the process, we can offer a 6-month hold. And so I mentioned earlier, we want to meet the child where they're at. We always want to meet every family where they're at too. We are here to serve, to host, to support them. Not the other way. They don't need to meet our processes. And so if a child or a family articulates to us right now is not the right time, we can offer a 6-month hold to say, all right, we'll pause. We'll check in 3 months just to see how you're doing because we care about you. But in 6 months, we'll revisit it, but take the time that you need.
We're obviously dealing with medically complex families. They have a whole lot going on that needs a lot of care and attention. Mm-hmm. If a child is going through a pretty intense treatment, or maybe they're getting a transplant coming up, they may be thinking of things that, you know what, a wish right now is too much, and we don't want to add that extra layer of stress because our goal is to give them a joyous moment, mm-hmm. and something that makes them feel stronger and not another thing that they have to do, another form that they have to fill out and whatnot.
Right. Any of those logistical pieces, like, we want to take away. And if the wish feels like a to-do, then we want to work with the family to be like, hey, what can we take off your plate? Because to your point, like, we only want to be a beneficial add to the family. We want to offer joy. We want to offer hope. We want to offer anticipation, strength. We don't want to offer stress. We don't want to offer a to-do list. We want to offer an enjoyable experience. So, yeah, that's not the goal. Yeah.
What has been the most memorable moment for you at Make-A-Wish, either a wish that you've worked on or just in general, what has been most memorable and impactful from your time at Make-A-Wish?
Okay. I came in thinking about what wish am I going to share? And I do want to because it was a really cool wish. But I first want to start, like, the most memorable thing about working here is the people I get to work with. We're in the business of people, right? We serve people. And the people that I work with on the daily are people who care about people. And I feel cared for and I get to care for them. And, like, I get to show up to work knowing that it's the best. Secondly, though, I have 3 favorite wish types. All wish types are great. All wishes are great. Each kid is, all wishes are great. But puppy wishes are the, just because obvious reasons, I love a puppy wish. I love a sports team wish. They're wholesome. They're inspiring. Just getting a team around an individual just melts me. And then my favorite, most memorable wish, though, is any I wish to be wish. Before this role, I managed our local wish team. And so I'm sure Arielle will talk about local and travel. But in the pandemic, we couldn't grant any travel wishes. And so we had a team dedicated to local wishes at a higher capacity than what we have now. And so I helped lead that team. And it was so fun. But I wish to be wishes. I mentioned that child who had the Lamborghini wish experience, which was so cool. But we had a kid wish to be his own superhero and save the city from an evil villain that he created. And it's the most memorable Make-A-Wish day because he wanted to be Mind's Eye, who's a superhero he made up, came up with a costume. The evil villain he came up with was Dr. Laugh, designed what he looked like too. And then he had his whole sidekick of superheroes also. And to make this wish possible, we worked with the CPD. One, to like shut down the city in some areas to have a high speed chase of Mind's Eye chasing Dr. Laugh. And then also CPD officers fulfilled those roles that Cyrus, the wish child, made up, which was so fun just to like see grown men in a costumes like being childlike. It was great. We worked with Columbia College to help design those costumes that Cyrus drew out. We worked with Navy Pier because that was the site of him saving the city and capturing Dr. Laugh. We worked with Panera Bread to offer meals to everybody who helped out that day. We worked with our donors to be the audience who clapped when Cyrus saved the city. It was a memorable day because I got to see such a community aspect. It was like a movie happening in front of me, but it was all for one wish child to have the best day of his life, seeing the impact on the family and his parents. It was the best. It was the best.
I'll include a link to the video that we have for that wish. And it's actually one that we will talk about next week as well.
Oh, fun!
With the creation phase, because it was one that is
great.
The to be wishes really prompt a lot of the community support.
Yeah, we all got t-shirts too with his logo so that we could like support him, like you would support like Superman. And his logo went up on the, if you know Chicago, you know that there's a Ferris wheel on Navy Pier. And in the middle of the Ferris wheel is a screen. And typically it just says Navy Pier. But we put Cyrus's logo up there. So it was like the bat signal. So not only was it impacting the individuals who we assigned to have a role that day, but anyone driving down Lakeshore Drive saw that and was like, I'm sure questioned what it was.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
It is. Those, I agree. The to be wishes are always
so fun
to be around, because it is just the true embodiment of what that wish kid wants.
Yeah.
Because they get to make it up and they get to play that role and experience that. And it could be a dream of theirs, and it's something that
yeah
you can't really achieve in your day to day. Like,
yeah,
you can't do a high speed chase legally around
No, Chicago. No, not safely.
Nope, not safely.
Not safe or equitably.
But partners like CPD make it safe.
Yeah.
Make it possible. Make it part of that child's wish.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, is there anything else that you want to add about your work and the onboarding and discovery phase of the wish journey?
I just think it's really great. Knowing that I've worked on the create side, it's fun. When a child says my wish is to touch a dinosaur, it's fun to be the team to put that together. And the front half of the work is not always seen as the most fun, but it's so important. And if we get to host a family from beginning to end, continuously offer that light and that reminder that you may be going through the hardest time, but joy is possible for you. And control is possible to you, right? Like, we get to invite families into a process where they get to, the child gets to be the leader. What they're going through medically, they're not in control of, nor I imagine want to be happening. But this is us saying, no, you get to choose. You get to be strong. You get to have a voice. You get to be excited about something. Like, good is available to you. And it starts with the welcoming and wish discovery process. And so I'm grateful for the individuals who do the work with me. And how much they care about it, because it is more of the background work, but it's important work and it's impactful work. So I just love it. I love it a lot.
Well, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah.
I appreciate you taking your time to share about all the incredible work that your team does. And like you said, often behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But it's much needed to kick off the excitement of the wish day.
Yeah.
Like the wish trip, whatever wish it is.
Whatever it is. Has to happen, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for having me. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, of course.
I'm so glad.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Beyond the Wish. Come along on the wish journey tomorrow for part 3, where we will be going over the create phase of the wish journey. So once Kayla's team has discovered the essence of a wish, how we make that into a reality. All 4 parts for this episode are already up on our YouTube channel. It is in one piece if you prefer to watch your podcasts or to just skip ahead and see the whole wish journey. If we have inspired you to become a wish maker, you can learn everything you need to on our website, wish.org/Illinois, and you can get involved to help local wish kids. Until next time, best wishes.
Awesome.
All right.
Okay. Bye.